Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today we'll be exploring the link between Catholic saints like Claire of Assisi and pop culture heroines like Rey from the Star Wars movies. Author Maria Moreira Johnson will join me to discuss her book, Supergirls and Halos, My Companions on the Quest for Truth, Justice, and Heroic Virtue. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is author Maria Moreira Johnson. Maria is a longtime fan of science fiction and comic book characters, and some of these fictional characters not only influenced and helped her re-embrace her Catholic faith, they pointed her towards the great saints of history who serve as her real-life role models. Maria shares her insights in the book, Supergirls and Halos, My Companions on the Quest for Truth, Justice, and Heroic Virtue. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Maria Moreira Johnson. Maria, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Now, I've personally always been a fan of movies and TV and books, and a lot of times I'm able to see connections between stories and characters and principles of Christianity. And that's essentially what you have done in this book, Supergirls and Halos. So I'm curious, how did you get started seeing these connections between pop culture and the Catholic faith?
Well, it's really a long story, and actually the seeds for this book were planted years ago when I was taking a women in literature course as an undergraduate student. We had the old heroes, the old heroines, and that was great, but I was always, a science fiction girl in my heart, and I wanted to see some more contemporary. So I kind of walked away from that course a little disappointed, and over time really just kept it in the back of my mind as I'd watch TV shows, as I'd watch movies, read books. I was always making these kind of connections with my faith. And I was lucky enough to stumble into a great group of people about a dozen years ago with Greg Willits, who's at OSV now, and back then was running Rosary Army, and a priest in the Netherlands, Father Roderick von Hoeken, who was doing a podcast with SQPN. And so I eventually kind of teamed up with them and worked with that board for many years with the idea that, the way that we reach people is to go out into the culture and talk about the themes in the culture. So this is something that I was already doing, did with them for many, many years, and then continued to do it in my own personal writing. And so, when I found out that Wonder Woman was being produced, I went nuts. I'm like, this.
Now is the time.
This is for me.
I'm talking to Maria Moreira Johnson about her book, Supergirls and Halos, My Companions on the Quest for Truth, Justice, and Heroic Virtue. And let me touch on that part of the subtitle, Heroic Virtue, because virtue isn't a word that we hear that much today, even though, as you point out in the book, we have characters who live out those traits. So what is heroic virtue? What does it refer to, not just for superheroes, but in the lives of the average person?
Well, when we think of heroism, we always have these images of this over-the-top kind of heroism, people who jump into the ocean to save a drowning victim, firefighters who go into the fires to save people. And that certainly is heroism. But, we live heroic virtue, which is a different kind of heroism. It's a very quiet, very rooted, I think, in the cardinal virtues. Of justice and prudence and fortitude and temperance. These are things that require a certain amount of reason on our part, a certain amount of conviction on our part, and commitment to the action. And it doesn't have to be over the top. In fact, one of the counterpoints in the book is that you've got these fictional characters who are over the top, and they're paired with these saints who were definitely not over the top. They were very quiet. In their heroism.
Sure. Well, how did you come to see that saints who, who've lived 100 years ago, thousands of years ago, how did you come to see that they still had relevance to your modern life? Was there one in particular that triggered that epiphany?
I've been writing about the saints for some time, and so the idea of pairing them is not new to me. But the one saint in this book that really spoke to me was Edith Stein, Saint Teresa Benedict of the Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I think that the most personal chapter in the book is the one that I write about Dana Scully from the X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a big fan of the X-Files when it first aired in the 90s.
Sure.
And I was kind of living that piece of my faith with Scully at the same time, seeking truth, capital T, but not really making that connection that I was seeking God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I had to find a saint that used reason. And I had just recently discovered Edith Stein's writings, and she blew me away. Just, I mean, what a formidable woman she was.
Yeah.
And so that was the turning point for me in this project was, wow, I've really got to write this book.
Sure. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Maria Moreira Johnson about her book, Supergirls and Halos, My Companions on the Quest for Truth, Justice, and Heroic Virtue. Let me stick with Dana Scully of the X-Files, because that is a show I also watched regularly. And one of the things that drew me to the show, because I wasn't really a big horror guy on TV, but I had read that Chris Carter, the creator, he used the show as a metaphor almost for his own search for faith. Because that the poster on Mulder's wall, I Want to Believe, didn't just refer to UFOs in the show. It referred to his own quest for something, a higher power than himself. And, you know, a lot of that played out in Scully's search for her faith. So just talk a little bit about, are there any specific instances you remember of Scully's Catholicism coming into play? Because she is one of the rare TV characters who is Catholic and who it does come up as main points in the story.
Oh yeah. Actually, there was a whole storyline on her going back to confession, and sadly, I don't think there was so much jumping on board during those initial days of the sexual abuse crisis in the church, but that they did an episode where she was interviewing a retired priest. And in the course of the episode, they discussed monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'm a retired literature teacher,
mm-hmm.
and one of my favorite quotes was from Young Goodman Brown, where Goodman Brown is running through the forest, and he says that there is no greater monster than the evil that resides in man's heart. And so that really resonated with me in that episode because they were discussing monsters and guilt and sin,
mm-hmm.
although they never really used the word sin. That
mm-hmm.
would have been really interesting.
Uh-huh.
But in the course of the episode, she returned to confession.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, was such a monumental episode because I was in that period of, you know, in my late 20s, had really stepped away from the church, and in my mid-30s was returning to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, that television episode was the final little pinch that got me into the confessional.
Wow.
after a decade. So for me, that was a very special chapter to write.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it really kind of hinges on what the Christophers are about, that, you know, we can use popular culture to point us in the direction of God, and it sounds like your story is proof positive of just that happening.
Oh, yes.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Maria Moreira Johnson. Her book is Supergirls and Halos, My Companions on the Quest for Truth, Justice, and Heroic Virtue. In case people are not familiar with St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, you mentioned her earlier as being very influential. Tell us a little bit about her life and what resonated with her about you, beyond just you said about using reason, but what about her story really touched you?
Well, she was raised as a practicing Jewish woman in a family, a large family, and in her teens, she started moving away from her faith,
mm-hmm.
and eventually, by the time she was at the university studying philosophy, she was a committed atheist. And as I was reading about her, I thought, well, you know, there's so many stories like this, mine too, of leaving the faith. I never really dove into atheism because I still had the fear of God that I knew that what I was doing was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really drawn to her in that story. And my patron saint is Saint Teresa of Avila.
Okay.
And I kind of came at her in a headstrong way. My mother and her sisters and even my mother-in-law were all educated by Carmelites in Cuba many, mm-hmm. many years ago. And so St. Teresa was always a fixture in our home, so I kind of gave her the side eye, like I kind of wanted to be connected to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this moment of encountering St. Teresa, and that's what caused or what began Edith's conversion, is that she was at a friend's house and picked up St. Teresa's biography and sat down in the middle of a party and read the book. And when she was done, she was convicted. So...
Wow.
Well, my connection with St. Teresa wasn't quite that dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wow, you know, this is how the saints speak to me. The ones in the book have spoken to me in these little anecdotes and these little surprises that I encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what began my interest in St. Teresa Benedicta.
Yeah.
But she wrote a lot about women working, and she really had a long struggle to become a Carmelite, because
mm-hmm.
once she had converted, it didn't please her mother at all,
mm-hmm.
and her spiritual director had counseled her to just slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
He'll reach the Carmel, just don't do it just yet.
And how did she really come to embody the heroic virtue you're writing about?
Well, she really was so patient.
Mm-hmm.
She really waited, and she listened to the prudent advice of her spiritual director to wait for the right time. And so she continued to do her work in philosophy, ended up, I think, translating Thomas Aquinas. So that was quite a life's work for her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she continued to live in the world.
Yeah.
As before retiring
mm-hmm.
to the Carmel, she continued to do her work in the world as a Christian, and so I thought that was really good, a good example of prudence on the part of the spiritual advisor, who said, "Slow down, you don't have to finish destroying your mother in one fell swoop," but also. Also, come at this a little slow,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
and you know, you're strong in your reasoning abilities. You're a philosopher. Take your time and do this work that is before you. And I thought that was really a great example of some of the things that I've had to do in my life and in my career. Sometimes the answer is to wait. And
a little patience.
We don't
helps.
Like to wait. You know,
yeah.
I go to the drive-thru and I'm put out if there's two people in front of me. So.
I know, we're used to everything downloading in 2 seconds or less,
right.
And we don't want to wait for anything anymore. I'm talking to Maria Moreira Johnson. Her book is Supergirls and Halos. Just one more question on the whole Scully-St. Teresa connection. There's a lot of people who pit science against faith and society. And you write in the book, Scully finds a reconciliation that science and faith are not mutually exclusive. What do you think our society could learn from Scully's journey in The X-Files?
Well, I think that if we would actually look at some of the scientists and dig a little deeper and find out that so many of them were priests, I mean, that,
yes.
that might be a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's, I think it was John Paul II's quote, I think, that I used in there. Science was created by God, too.
Mm-hmm.
God created everything.
Yeah.
And so what a gift to have science to help us explain some of the things that we want answers to,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Not everything is a mystery, and what a joy it is for us to have this ability for discovery through science.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's switch gears a little bit, because I am a longtime Star Wars nerd, and you have a chapter devoted to Rey from the Force Awakens movie trilogy, and you link her to St. Clair of Assisi. So first, tell me, when you watched Daisy Ridley play Rey, what were your impressions of the character? How did you see, you know, links to your own Catholicism in the character?
Wow. Well, you know, she spoke to 8-year-old me. I wanted to do all of those things that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw in her a very beautiful relationship, in that she was alone,
mm-hmm.
and that she finds this company of people who want to bring her into the fold. And so if I could use her as a metaphor for who I want to reach with this book, mm-hmm. you know, I want to reach the young women and men who pick it up, who are out on the periphery, you know, who are watching things from afar in terms of how when people have a good, strong faith, they're happy and they're fulfilled mm-hmm. and they're joyful, even if their life isn't great, that there's still that element of joy. And so I see her metaphorically as what we could see when we belong to the communion of saints, when we belong to the church, when we, you know, when we can look at each other as brothers and sisters. And it sounds, gosh, it sounds a little, I don't know, sugary sweet, but those are my true sentiments.
No, that's perfect. And I also think, you know, I got a sense of, you know, Ray seems to follow her calling or evocation, to put it in Catholic terms, and kind of what you're saying, you know, we can find joy in following that, even if everything isn't going perfectly. That idea of vocation, how did you see that play out in the movie?
Well, I would say that the whole scene with Moscatana at the palace, when she's handed the lightsaber, she rejects it. She doesn't want any part of it. Mm-hmm. In my own personal story, I told you I'm a retired literature professor. I started off as a teacher, as a high school teacher, and I went into that vocation, which is so clear to me in retrospect now that I'm retired, what I was made to do, mm-hmm. you know. I went into it kicking and screaming because that's not what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to be writing science fiction novels, and here I was teaching other science fiction. Uh-huh. and so she, you know, she rejected that almost right out of the gate when it was offered to her, in a very similar way that I did. And mm-hmm. so I'm so looking forward to this next chapter this December, because I want to see what she does. I want to see how she takes that lightsaber and goes running with it, and what magnificent things she can do. Just like when we align our will with God's, as long as I wanted it my way, it wasn't happening. But the minute that I turned it over to God, you know, things took off and grew.
Yeah, you got put on a journey that took you to places you didn't expect, but to places that you now appreciate where you are.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm talking to Maria Marrero Johnson about her book, Supergirls and Halos, My Companions on the Quest for Truth, Justice, and Heroic Virtue. We've talked about Dana Scully of the X-Files before. Now we're exploring Rey from the Star Wars films a little bit. And one more thing about her is you reference her connection to Han Solo and him being a spiritual father of sorts. Why do you think mm-hmm. that is so important to Rey?
Well, she had no one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that sometimes we're in a place in our society that's really so focused on women and empowering girls that I sometimes think that we're forgetting the boys mm-hmm. and that we're forgetting the men.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the spiritual mothers that I have had in my life, I've also needed fathers and spiritual fathers. And mm-hmm. I was lucky to have had a wonderful father and spiritual fathers and a good father-in-law. And, you know what I'm saying? We need the balance. We need the complementarity. We need men and women mm-hmm. in our lives.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. And, you know, you link this chapter to St. Clare of Assisi, who found, you know, a kinship with St. Francis of Assisi. So really the two of them together almost, you know, fits what you're talking about. So tell me a little bit, mm-hmm. how does St. Clare of Assisi fit into this picture? What's her connection to Rey in your own vision?
Well, I just love the play on words mm-hmm. with the Rey and that St. Clare was also a ray of light.
Yeah.
In the world.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were talking about the over-the-top kinds of heroism that we see with Rey, you know, actually jumping into the fray,
mm-hmm.
and then we see a different heroism in St. Clare with the story of the Saracens invading the town mm-hmm. and coming up to the monastery gates, when she goes to Jesus. She goes to the Blessed Sacrament, and I don't know, sometimes they say it's a monstrance or she actually had a host in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the case was, she held Jesus up to them and put her trust completely in him.
Yeah.
And the Saracens went away and they stopped the invasion. And so what a gentle thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, there was no violence in that.
Mm-hmm.
It was complete and total trust in the Lord's providence in that moment. And so I thought that that was a great contrast.
Yeah.
But really, I was drawn to that play on words.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how did both Ray and Claire fight for justice in their own ways? Because you do bring up that idea of justice, and especially in the chapters with Ray and with Wonder Woman.
Right. Well, this is a common question. How is that justice? Well, justice has two parts to it. There's the social justice that we see, you know, with Wonder Woman wanting to make things good in the world. There's the kind of justice that that Ray has in the movie, which is the justice for the galaxy, to make sure that everyone is free and that they can pursue their lives. But there's also a justice that we owe God, which is to worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't talk about that, or we don't really see that as our responsibility, as something that is right and just.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If I can quote from the Mass, and that's the example that Claire gives us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That she puts everything into the Lord's hands, because she puts her all into His hands. That is what is right and just for her and for all of us. So I think that piece might surprise some people that's the route that I went down with justice, but it's part of the catechism.
Yeah, no, you flesh it out beautifully, and you know, connecting Wonder Woman to St. Catherine Drexel and, you know, so many other great saint stories. We're talking about the better-known ones, but you also have Storm from the X-Men and St. Cunegunda, who is someone I was not familiar with, and Hermione Granger and St. Margaret D'Youville. So were these saints already on your, you know, in your path of vision before you started working on this book, or did you connect with them while you were writing?
Those two are longtime friends of mine.
Oh, okay.
Saint Marguerite D'Youville founded the Grey Nuns of the Sacred Heart, which were the sisters who educated me in elementary school at Christ the King Elementary in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've known about Saint Marguerite forever. And she has her story is fantastic. You talk about expressing fortitude in her life. She had a terrible marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband was probably illegally running alcohol to the Native Americans in Canada, mm-hmm. in northern New York. And when he died, and she committed her life to serving the poor in her community and some other women who were like-minded, and they formed their group before it was recognized as an order.
Mm-hmm.
They called them in French the Sœur Grise, which had a double entendre, the drunk nuns, because it followed her. Her husband's alcohol dealings followed her. But anyway, they became great educators and nurses,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I was educated by the group that were teachers.
Yeah.
So I knew about Saint Marguerite, and Saint Cunegunde was introduced to me when I was in the fifth grade. My personal story of confirmation happened. I was confirmed as an infant because I was in Cuba at the time. I was born in Cuba. Right mm-hmm. in the midst of the communist revolution there. And many of the priests and religious were expelled from Cuba. And so there was a mad rush for the sacraments. People who maybe were engaged got married a little sooner than they intended to. And
mm-hmm.
and there were mass communions and confirmations, because who knew if I was ever going to be confirmed, given the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So when my classmates at Christ the King were prepping for their confirmation, I had to go to the classes, but I couldn't participate in any of the practices. And I was a big bookworm, and I discovered St. Cunegunde.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, this is a great name.
It is unusual.
So I read about her, and then, you know, that was in the fifth grade. I forgot about it for about a decade or more.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was stationed in Bamberg, Germany in the 80s when he was in the Army. And he went on a field, you know, he went immediately to the field as soon as I got there after we were married. And I was exploring the town, and I went into the cathedral to look around, and I'm looking at this tomb, and I'm like, these pictures are familiar, and it was St. Kunigunde and St. Henry. St. Henry.
Mm-hmm. So you reconnected
in that cathedral
in an unusual way.
So.
And now she's made her way into your book.
Can you believe that? That's so funny. So yeah, so the saints, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention too much before, but they kind of chase me a little bit now.
They pop up in your field of vision. And we just have about a minute left. So tell me, what do you hope people get out of reading Supergirls and Halos?
I think that they can learn from this book that we do have the stuff of heroism. We all have the stuff of these heroes, with a little bit of grace. And a little realignment, we can be saints.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Maria Moreira Johnson about her book, Supergirls and Halos, My Companions on the Quest for Truth, Justice, and Heroic Virtue. This book is a great read, I think, for already practicing Catholics. But just my own opinion, it's also great for the young people in your life who may be a little iffy when it comes to practicing their faith, because this is a book filled with pop culture heroines they can relate to and that are going to point them to the saints. So really, this is a great read for everybody. Again, pick up Supergirls and Halos by Maria Moreira Johnson. Her website is mariamjohnson.com. And Maria, thanks so much for writing the book and for talking about it today.
No, you know, it was a pleasure for me.
Thank you. Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
The most difficult trials in life demand that we dig deep within ourselves to find the capacity for courage that God has bestowed upon the human soul. But courage begins with an act of the will to persevere through pain, suffering, and even failure. To help you along that path, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Finding the Courage Within. It offers insights on building character, cultivating the ability to act courageously, and making sacrifices for the greater good. To request your free copy of Finding the Courage Within, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.